Chapter 39. The attack on Camp Muir came from out of nowhere. Lieutenant Harmon and Sergeant Stanga had been checking on the Osei soldiers stationed near one of the automated badgers moments before a black Rupak assault craft screamed into the center of the camp. None of the sensors had detected its arrival. Instead, it announced its presence via what looked like a 20-millimeter Vulcan cannon mounted beneath its sleek forward prow, a steady brrrt issuing from the weapon system as it came in low from behind the cover of the mountainous terrain. Harmon wanted to shout, "What the hell was that?" But the exclamation only made it as far as his mind. Soon, he and Stanga were thrown to the ground as 6,000 rounds per minute ripped into the Badger. The ammunition seemed to penetrate the vehicle's armor and explode inside. The ground rumbled as rounds impacted earth and stone, sending up micro showers. A few Osei civilians were caught in the sudden strafe of the whip, and the weapon erased them from existence, apart from the unsettling red mist that hung in the air where they once stood whole. People had been out, going about their business. A family had been enjoying a picnic. Others walked arm in arm. Old men sat beneath the shade of the exotic mountain trees. A regular day. A day of days for those caught in the surprise attack. There was no breath inside Harmon's lungs. He found himself being pulled along by his sergeant, running for cover. Harmon sucked in a breath and felt the haze begin to fade, felt the adrenaline focus his senses, pushed the panic down. "Link up," he ordered. "I'll reach Ohio." Stanga nodded and ran toward the rest of his team, positioned farther away to defend the camp from what was thought to be a more probable avenue of attack. They hadn't expected to see anything like the craft they now faced. The Rupak ship was a little larger than the heavy haulers, a troop transport of some sort. It stabilized low to the ground and opened its doors, revealing another Vulcan cannon, this one much smaller, manned by a door gunner. The gunner swept the weapon back and forth, mowing down the panic-stricken civilians as they ran for safety. Beside him, Rupak regulars jumped from the hovering craft, dropping 2 meters onto the ground. These were the Rupak skinnies. The gaunt, dirty soldiers they'd tangled with before. There was no fear in their eyes, just a deadness, like they weren't really there. Harmon had seen it in every attack on Camp Ohio, and now there was a platoon-sized element of them inside Camp Muir. The thin Rupak soldiers fired indiscriminately at the screaming civilians, murdering men, women, and children without rhyme or reason, pulling triggers at the first Osei that happened across their sights. This only added to the chaos. Harmon had an obligation to fall back and coordinate the defense. Brody should be here soon, and Stanga's men, once gathered, would begin to issue ass-kickings. But the brutality he was witnessing caused something inside him to rage. He opened a channel to Ohio and reported the situation.
"Roger," Ohio responded. "Reinforcements inbound."
"Roger, out."
The Rupak soldiers continued to disperse through the camp. The door gunner continued to fire. Behind him, more men, different men, Rupak soldiers perhaps, but dressed in light armor, all black with lightweight helmets, began to dismount. Unlike their Rupak counterparts, these men did not start firing indiscriminately. They moved purposefully and as one, in a manner that Harmon equated with a special forces unit. They seemed as if they were moving to a specific target, using the mayhem of the dirty Rupak regulars as a screen. With the troops inserted, the Rupak craft rose higher, its door gunner still seeking civilian targets and firing without mercy. It had all happened with alarming speed. Harmon raised his rifle and sent 4 shots at the door gunner. The man pitched sideways and slid away from his weapon, the safety harness the only thing keeping him from falling out of the ascending craft. Intersecting fire from the Badger's heavy cannons chased the Rupak ship as it circled wide around the camp, using its forward cannons to pierce the wreckage of Muir and Longmire and inflict even more civilian casualties.
"Squad is up," Stanga reported. "Moving on your paws."
The Badgers struggled to hit their target. They were detecting the enemy craft and firing their automated weapons without direct action from the crew, similar to the way they had shot down the first Rupak drone. Except even their advanced targeting systems seemed incapable of properly leading the target.
"What the hell is going on?"
Alexa delivered an answer.
"Lieutenant Harmon, I have been granted permission to assist with your battle operations. Brody has reported significant enemy jamming. I believe this is what is preventing the Badger's targeting systems. The computers are struggling to keep up.
It was a bad time to have technology fail them.
This can be remedied by positioning your men on the Badgers and having them take direct control of the firing.
Harmon nodded. The ship circling the camp was moving swiftly, but not so fast that his men couldn't blast the thing down. The enemy pilots were trusting in their jamming technology. That would be exploited.
Stanga, Harmon ordered. Fight your way to one of the Badgers and get on the guns. We have to shoot that thing down manually. Targeting computer can't do it.
Roger. Harmon moved with the team, intending to break away to check on Osei Crazewell at what they'd all taken to calling the village square, the section of the ship where the colony's business had been undertaken. On the way, he spotted a lingering Rupak regular who looked as though he'd been injured. The soldier was dragging a leg, leaving a trail of blood as he moved forward. Harmon put two rounds in his heart, and the man fell. He looked around for more, but what had once been the epicenter of the attack was now burning and abandoned, as though the late-night riot had passed through and then deserted the area with the rising of the sun and the loss of anonymity. But there was still heavy fighting elsewhere in the colony. Heavy booms drifted from the north of their position.
North side is secure, rumbled Brody. Tactical hot tip. Throwing 1,000-pound bombs at advancing Rupak quickly eliminates the threat. But now I'm all out of bombs.
The staccato burst of a firefight, likely between the Osei men and the Rupak regulars, came from the east, where many of the emaciated soldiers had gone.
Roger, Brody, Harmon said. Can you describe the enemy? Just a bunch of filthy Rupak.
Harmon decided he'd have to take that literally. Move east towards Sound of Contact and be on the lookout for Rupak SF. These guys won't look dirty.
Wolverines!
Sergeant Stanga hustled his squad toward the nearest Badger, leaving Lieutenant Harmon to continue linking up with the Osei leadership. The scene was chaotic, but the reality was that not many Rupak soldiers had gotten off that craft. Once the Osei forces and Rangers rallied, they should have no problem repulsing the enemy. This was more akin to a terrorist raid than an organized military assault. The exception was the Rupak craft that was still circling, still lighting up the camp with its powerful forward cannon. Running parallel with the craft, Stanga saw a burst issue forth that ripped up the dirt and took down a tree on its way to tearing into one of the Osei buildings made from Longmire wreckage.
What are they even shooting at? Shouted Private Dunn.
Whatever's in front of them, Stanga replied. So let's make them stop.
He brought the squad to a halt alongside one of the Muir's pods. Peering around the corner, he saw four Rupak regulars firing their weapons in rage at the Badger the team had been moving toward. The small arms weren't going to be a problem, but Stanga wondered at the bloodlust that seemed to consume the enemy. He pulled himself back and looked to his men.
Kincaid, Marks, Rupak is attempting to take down the Badger with small arms fire. Use your 40 millimeters to clear him out. Roger, Sart.
The Rangers readied their grenade launchers, quietly moved around the corner, ducked behind cover, and began firing. Stanga was about to get a status report when the Rupak Vulcan gun issued a new fount of flames. It made a strafing run on the Badger, leaving it and the Rupak regulars around it utterly ruined.
Badger's down, Stanga reported. Let's move to Badger 6, in the rocks.
The Rangers nodded. They knew the one.
Hopefully it's still there, Private Brown said. Let's haul ass and make sure it is.
His squad moved to cover one another as they pressed forward from their position. Ahead, they heard the snaps and cracks of weapons fire being exchanged. They instinctively lowered their heads and pushed toward a group of Osei men defending a cluster of huddling colonists. Rupak regulars were attempting to overrun the position.
Set up and clear those bastards, Stanga ordered.
The Rangers were all too willing. They joined the Osei men, converting their half-circle defensive formation into a death trap by forming a line and completing an L-shaped firing position. It looked like an L drawn by a drunk with his offhand, but it did the job. The crossfire cut the Rupak soldiers down. Stanga paused to check on the Osei. He needed to be sure they could get the women and children to safety.
That way, he ordered, pointing in the direction they'd just come.
There were no Rupak where they had traveled, and he hoped the aircraft wouldn't return to a place it had already so heavily damaged.
Ammo's redistributed, Corporal Stewart reported as they ran toward Badger 6. But we're getting light. Badger will have some in the cab, Stanga said.
They pushed on another 100 meters, winding through camp. In some places, they saw the aftermath of skirmishes between Rupak and Osei, and in others, the results of the insertion craft's cannon. It was grisly. It was war. But the general picture Sergeant Stanga was getting was that the Osei had rallied and were seizing back control of the camp. When Badger 6 came into their sights, a Rupak soldier in a clean black uniform, one of the special forces elements Lieutenant Harmon had mentioned, was sprinting away from it. Dunn and Marks sent several rounds at the man, who gave a surprised grunt of pain and shock before stumbling forward, losing the motor control to cushion his fall, and planting face first onto the ground. Something flew from his hands and landed in front of him. The Rangers moved carefully, expecting to see a buddy hiding somewhere, but none exposed themselves.
That looked like what I think it is, Sarge, said Marks. Damn it, yes. It's a detonator. Probably looking to blow the Badger.
The men, still searching for targets, exchanged quick looks. None of them wanted to have to go secure Amir's latest car bomb in the form of a modified Badger. In the distance, the sound of the Rupak ship's cannon buzzed away. The noise solidified Stanga's thoughts.
This sucks. I'll get on Six's guns. Dunn, you're coming with me to get the ammunition and get clear. Stewart, you update the LT. Tell him we ran into the Rupak SF.
Stanga continued forward with Dunn at his heels. The vehicle's door was ajar, and when Stanga peered inside, he saw a small package of explosives fastened beneath the steering column. He was hardly an explosives expert, but he imagined that with the Badger's armored plating, there wouldn't be much left of the sensitive interior of the vehicle.
Yep, that'll do it, he grunted.
He scanned the rear cabin of the vehicle. The ammunition was still there. Sergeant Stanga. It was Alexa's voice coming through his implant. I've been informed of what you discovered. Can you look at the explosive device again? I'm watching now.
Sure.
Stanga looked up as though he could see the camera mounted to the top of his helmet, then craned his neck to give it a better view of the bomb. The roar of the Rupak ship's cannons came closer.
This thing's not going to blow us up if we open the doors to get ammo, is it?
No, it is remotely detonated. I could walk you through disabling the bomb, but—
Not enough time, Stanga said. He turned to Dunn. Grab the ammo and get back.
As Stanga hopped into the vehicle and assumed manual control of its cannons, Private Dunn went to work. He'd only just rejoined the rest of the squad where the Rupak ship lazily zoomed into view, still spewing destruction.
Come on,
Stanga whispered to himself, manually lining up the ship with the Badger's electronic sights.
Come on.
He pushed his thumbs down on the butterfly trigger and felt the rush that came from firing the heavy guns. Trace rounds arced through the Rupak craft, but they were several meters high, missing entirely.
Son of a bitch.
That ship is actively disrupting our targeting software, Alexa advised. You can't rely on it. Stanga gritted his teeth, took in a deep breath, and adjusted his fire as the Rupak ship began to bank away and then take on altitude to increase the distance between itself and the Badger's guns. The Badger's rounds snaked through the air, following the path Stanga had drawn the barrel along, but none of them hit home. The Rupak, hardly a fast mover, was managing to extract itself from danger. A missile streaked up toward the craft from elsewhere in the camp.
That's Badger 2's position, shouted Stewart.
The missile began its journey on a straight course before abruptly banking hard away from the target, apparently a victim of Rupak's jamming. Even so, it was not without effect. The Rupak pilot had reduced speed and dropped, sliding his craft out of a direct flight path and making himself a juicy target for Stanga. The sergeant opened fire. This time, he hit home along the rear of the ship, tearing apart one of the dual rear fins. The ship tilted and began to smoke. Again, it took on altitude, limping away from the field.
Woo!
The Rangers shouted, pumping their fists as Sergeant Stanga chased the ship out of range with concussive fire.
Great work, Alexa said. Lieutenant Harmon wants you to hold position. Haulers are inbound with reinforcements.
Roger, Stanga said. He called out to his team. All right, boys. We're...
A burst of incoming fire peppered the sides of the Badger, cutting Stanga short and causing him to duck down instinctively. He rose again at the sound of his squad already returning fire. Corporal Stewart confirmed what the sergeant's eyes were already gathering.
Contact! RUPAC SF!